Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey, y'all. This is Troy Black, and this is Pastor Tim Ingram.
Hey, everybody.
He is my mentor. He's my friend. He's my pastor. And he was just in another video with me. If you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It's all about how we should respond to all the conspiracy theories that are out there right now.
Yeah.
But today I'm going to be asking him this question. How should the church, the church, the body of Christ, be responding to this season that we're walking through with all these crazy things that have been happening? Coronavirus, the quarantine, the economic crisis that we're facing, and the conspiracy theories, so many different things that are happening right now. What should be our response, and what does God want to come out of this season?
Those are great questions. Just let me just say again, I love this guy. I love what he's doing. I love the ministry that you guys are putting out great content every week. And so I'm a big Troy Black fan, and so this is just as much an honor for me as he has said as well. I think it's very clear that God is ready to push the church into a place where we're looking at a world like we've never seen it before in our generation. We're watching a world slowly come back into the public. We're watching things change on a global level all at the same time. It's the thing about coronavirus, it's the great equalizer. We've all been in the exact same situation. And so as we're walking out, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
And so I think God is very clearly speaking globally to the church that our response should be just what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 9, where he says, look, the fields are ripe unto harvest. As a matter of fact, there he says, the word says that Jesus was moved by compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd and they were harassed on all sides. And Jesus says, look, the fields are ripe unto harvest. This is the perfect opportunity when people have been harassed, when they've been inundated with fear and anxiety and pressure and quarantine. All these things are happening in people's lives. And this is the perfect moment for the church to reach out and realize that, the fields are ripe unto harvest. And so then he says, so ask or pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers. And he tells this to his disciples. And by the way, what he's saying there is, I'm the Lord of the harvest, and those workers that you've been praying for, those workers that you're praying that they would come, they're you.
Yeah.
So, and this is the thing. Then it moves on to Matthew 10, where Jesus is saying, okay, here's my battle plan. This is how I'm going to send out those workers into the field. And so the disciples are like, okay, what do you want us to do? And Jesus says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Like, no, Jesus, you mean we're the wolves, they're the sheep, right? Because this is kind of the narrative. Nobody wants to be sheep. And this is what we've been seeing on social media. Like, you guys are a bunch of sheep. Y'all are all following along this line. So Jesus says, no, I want you to be the sheep, and you're going out among wolves. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I think if we're honest, this would be, we would have to say, okay, Jesus, that's not a great plan. You must have got that mixed up a little bit. Surely you don't want us as your sheep. If we're going to be sheep, you don't want us walking right through the middle of wolves, right? And he says, yeah, and well, how do you want us to do that? Well, I want you to do that by being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. No, this doesn't make sense to me, Jesus. Could we just go back to turning the water into wine thing? Can we just do that? Can we go back to just doing some more miracles and some bread and fish because we like that? Well, let's just start a fishing business. But this, let's not do this. This is not a good plan, Jesus. But this is exactly what the Lord is saying to us. The fields are ripe unto harvest, and the church is walking into a place where we are going to be his sheep, walking right into the middle of the wolf pack. It's dangerous. People have been fighting with each other. They've been disfellowshipping. People are angry. People are critical. People are scattered in a bunch of different directions. They've been stuck at home with people that they realize, you know, here 7 weeks later that they don't like very much. And here they are. And Jesus says that is the perfect opportunity for them to come to know me. It's crazy when you see Jesus's plan. But the good news is his plan is really brilliant. It works on so many levels. And when we understand that, hey, sheep have no natural defenses, they don't have fangs, they don't have horns, they're not very fast, they're not very intelligent, well, great. You know, great, thank you, Jesus. Could you not have given me a cooler animal?
You
know?
Yeah.
No, he says, I want you to be just like sheep, and you're going to walk right into the middle of danger. You need to realize that the world is waking up and they need Jesus now more than ever. And it's going to be dangerous. We're going to be criticized. People aren't going to like it. You're going to find your internet trolls. You're going to find people that, you know, who do you think you are? But if we can stick with the Word of God and realize that God called us to be able to walk into danger while keeping our eyes, keeping our focus on Him, we're going to be okay. We're going to be just fine. His battle plan works even if we don't understand it or if we don't like it. It just works. That was Matthew 10:16. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you out a sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove." And I think that is really the prophetic word that God is speaking over the church right now, that there is a huge harvest.
Wow.
And if the church will wake up and not be afraid to walk into danger, trust in the leadership of the Lord, the thing that God has given us here is wisdom. And I'm thankful that He didn't say intelligence, because then I would be at odds. It's like, okay, God, I'm out. You're not asking me to be smarter. You're asking me to be wiser. And the word is clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As a matter of fact, it says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So our wisdom doesn't come the more that we look at evil. Our wisdom comes when we have the fear of the Lord, when we turn away from evil and focus back on our relationship with God. It's very practical, very simple. And thank God it is, because then it would be too complicated for me to do it. But I think God's word is clear. He wants us to be in relationship with Him and to not be afraid of the danger that's coming, to walk right into the middle of it. And the greatest part of this is that in Isaiah 65, this is the end game. And Jesus says, look, at the end of all things in heaven, you're going to see the wolf laid down with the lamb.
Wow.
Showing us, by the way, that the end result of us walking like sheep among wolves is they're not going to change us. We're going to change them. And they're going to behave like sheep. Jesus has compassion on this painful world. Jesus has compassion on these bloodthirsty people. Jesus has compassion on the internet trolls, and He wants them to become His sheep. That's good news. The bad news is He wants to use us to do it. And it means that we've got to walk into this world.
Yeah.
But here we are. I think God's word is very clear, and the mandate is clear. The fields are ripe unto harvest, and it's time for the church to not be afraid of sharing our story, of using the gifts that God has given us. You know, you're never going to feel ready.
Yeah.
And that's the one knock that I hear constantly. Well, Pastor, that sounds good. Someday God will use me. Well, guess what? Someday is today.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus would never send people that He didn't qualify them and give them the grace and the strength for them to go. That's the good news about Jesus. You're ready even if you don't think you are. Now, Jesus sends these, the Bible calls the disciples ignorant and unlearned men. I fit in with that narrative. That's who He sends to change the world. Really, God uses people just like me, just like you, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things all the time. And the more that you get into His word, you realize that, wait, there's hope for me. He can use me. And God says, I want to use you, people just like you, people just like you. And I want to send you out like sheep among wolves. I'm going to give you wisdom that comes from a relationship with me. And I want you to realize that the end game means you're going to change the world. And I just want to speak that prophetically over you, to not cower back in fear. This is not the time to quarantine your Christianity. This is not the time to social distance from Jesus. This is the time to press into Him like never before and let Him lead you. Get your eyes off of ourselves. This is the thing that the quarantine has done. It's makes us self-preserving.
Yeah.
God is sending us to a place where He's like, no, I want you to forget about that. Forget about your own life. Look for them. Look with compassion. See them like I see them, because I want to change the world and I want to use you to do it.
That's amazing. Yeah, I feel like the wisdom of God that you're talking about is so much different than the wisdom of man.
Oh, yeah.
Because
clearly,
the way that we see things is, if I can get everything lined up, you know, and I can see how it's going to pan out, and I can see that I'm prepared for this, then I'm going to do what God's telling me to do.
Yeah, you know, show me all the steps.
As long as it's all going to work out. And God is saying, start doing what I'm telling you to do, and I'm going to come behind you and make sure it works out.
Yeah.
And even when it doesn't work out, I'm going to be there to catch you.
Yeah.
You know, like, if as long as I'm with you, you're going to be fine. And what I have said is actually going to take place. And I've seen this be true in my own life. I mean, when I first got saved, I immediately had this, passion to preach the gospel. I had this passion to share the grace of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, as every Christian should. The grace of God that I had received, I'm like, I can't hold this inside. I want to share it with people. And a lot of you who have watched my videos before, you probably don't know this, but I had another YouTube channel that I started before this one, and I put a bunch of videos up there, and, you know, I was passionate. I was excited about sharing the gospel, and they're gone now. I've taken them down. And the reason is because in that moment, I was really spiritually immature. I wasn't really coming at it from the right perspective or the right angle. Like, there were a lot of things God needed to show me, and I'm still learning, like, every day.
Right. Oh, me too. Yeah.
But I looked back at it one time, and I thought, man, you know, I shouldn't have even tried. You know, I shouldn't have even done anything that
can't
at that
win,
point.
Don't try. Right.
And I felt like the Holy Spirit was just telling me, like, no, you were doing in that moment what I was telling you to do.
Yeah.
Like, and I was preparing you for something else, but you were being obedient, you know? Yeah. It wasn't the best, no, and that's how we all are, you
it's
know.
Not
like
polished,
but that's the thing. It's never about us. It's never about our ability. It's always about God. And when as long as we are listening to what He's saying, and we're taking that step of faith, and we are responding to the Great Commission, we're responding to the personal call of God on every believer's life, whatever He's asking us to do personally, then yeah, God is going to come behind that, and He is going to. He's going to make it work out. And it's not going to work out always in the way that we want it to, but it's going to work out in the way that He wants it to.
He knows what He's doing.
And it's always going to be a step of faith. It's always going to be a call of faith. It's never going to be a get everything prepared and then make sure it works out beforehand. There's always going to be, you know, that step. And it's always going to be like that. Mm.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
And I honestly feel like some of us Christians who, you know, we've been saved for many years. We've been saved for a little while, and we've learned some things. We've gotten a little bit more spiritually mature. You know, some of us
just
more,
a little bit.
Some of us more than others. But we feel like we've gained some knowledge of the Bible. We feel like we've gained some experiences with God. We feel like we've had some, you know, quote unquote success doing what He's asking us to do. Suddenly we come at it from the perspective of, I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm the expert, or we pull our experience and we push that out in front. And God never wants us to get to that point. He always wants us to listen to what He's saying, listen to what His word is saying, and then take that next step in faith. And it's always going to feel uncomfortable.
I wish I could say it's going to be comfortable and then it gets easier. It doesn't. It's always going to be a step of faith. His word calls us to the same truth. It's just trust and obey. Trust and obey. He never says, I need you to see the whole staircase. He just says, take the next step.
That's awesome.
And, that's not easy for us. It goes counterintuitive to our human nature. I don't like not knowing the entire plan. But I do know the end of the book says that we win.
Yeah.
But it never tells me what I'm supposed to do the entire time. It just gives me the next step. Trust and obey. And I like what you're saying. I agree with that 100%. That's a timely word for us right now. It's a timely word for the church. Hey, focus on your relationship with God. Get really grounded in Him. Look at people through a different lens. Not as someone to fight with or to argue with or to prove how much you know and how much they don't know. Use what you've been given. I think there's... to add to your point, I think there's this myth that God wants to use some future cleaned up version of us when we get everything worked out right and when we've figured out all the things that God has for us to figure out. That's a foolish way to look at things. Now, God wants to use you right where you are right now, and God will qualify the called. And I love that about Him is that He doesn't wait for me to get everything worked out right before He starts using me.
Mm-hmm.
Just use what you have.
Or else He would never use us.
Right. And let me just speak that over somebody that's watching today. Use what you have. Use what you have. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Use what you have. Take the next step. Maybe make a phone call. Send an email. Send a text to somebody that you know needs Jesus. Reach out to somebody that you know is hurting. Take the next step. Use what God has given you today to help people find Jesus and know Him better.
So I honestly believe, and this is where I was personally for a while in my life, and I am still some days, you know, I'm not a perfect Christian. Like I need God's grace
what is
all
that?
The time. Yeah.
Who is that person?
So this is something God has to teach me all the time. But I honestly believe some Christians, myself included, you know, we have this view of what sharing the gospel looks like, what the Great Commission looks like, what our calling in life looks like. And can you talk about that a little bit? And what does it look like to actually take what God has asked us to do, this commission we have, and to apply it practically in our lives?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I think it's a timely question for Christians that feel that the Word of God is true. It's very clear that God has asked us to share the gospel, but how in the world do we do that?
Yeah.
There are so many ways, and if you can open up your mind a little bit, there's so many ways that the Lord is speaking to people right now all across the globe that we've never seen before in the history of the church. And one of those things is what you have right here in your hand. What you might be watching this on is your phone. And you have a huge contact list. You have tons of people that you're connected to on social media. Some of them may be close friends. Some of them may love Jesus. Some of them may not. But when you start using what God has given you with your phone, with your social media, with your influence, with your text, with your emails, if you just start a relationship with people, get into a place where they're like the Bible says, let them come and see. Let them get to know you. Let it be a relationship thing. Now, that's a great way to introduce people to Jesus. Let them see what's different about your life. Mm. And that's not done with a judging attitude. It's simply done within the context of friendship.
Yeah.
People will see what you have and want what it is that's different about you. I think that's really important. With the church as well. I remember we were sitting in an elders meeting one day. This was years ago. And as what will happen to most churches, we were kind of sitting around just looking at each other thinking, okay, this is not working. You know, our church isn't growing. It's getting smaller. It's growing the wrong way. And I finally just, you know, I asked our board there, like, guys, what are we doing? What kind of church are we? And the number one thing that came up with was we're evangelical. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Like, well, if everyone knows what that word means. I'm like, well, it may mean something different to me than it does to you, because to me it means we're supposed to be focused on reaching people that are far from Jesus.
Mm.
But yet I haven't seen a single person in my church respond to Jesus, or someone that I knew needed to respond to Jesus. It's just a bunch of us Christians sitting around calling each other evangelical when there's nothing really changing. Nobody's really being evangelized. And so it was a God moment, but it really hit me in my chest. It hit us as leaders of our church in our chest of, hey, we've got to change everything. And what would that look like if we didn't put any sacred cows in our church anymore, things that we had to pay homage to? Like, let's get rid of everything, take everything off the table.
Wow.
And say, if God has called us to truly be evangelical, and we know that he has, if his word is true and his word is the mandate for us today, then what could we take off our plate that doesn't add to people finding Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And we realize in those moments that the words that we say are where we start. We have to stop using what I call Christianese. It's the special language that only Christians use. You know, hey, how are you doing, brother? Well, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, too blessed to be stressed. Like, who the heck knows what you're talking about? Speak English. And when you see someone at the movie theater, or when you see them at the store, like, they don't talk that way. But we talk that way to each other, and we wonder why people that are far from Jesus don't feel like they have anything in common with us. Let's change the narrative. Let's change our words. Let's change our speech habits. And we started making ourselves use words that other people use. Speaking in modern day terms, in a language that people can understand. And we found that that's exactly the way that Jesus spoke. He spoke in a way that the average person could communicate with him. And that's the beautiful part about Jesus, that he speaks a language that even I can understand. He wants to speak the language of the people. And so if we can get practical about using our phones, using our social media, using our words in ways that people can understand, you're going to see people that want to know Jesus, and they come. They respond because you're taking a step of faith.
That's amazing. That's so good. Something I feel like for me personally that has allowed me to step into that, just in my personal life especially, not just on social media or you know, my YouTube channel or something like that, but just as a Christian, as a human being who knows Jesus, is when people start asking about my life, the first thing I turn to is my testimony story, like my salvation. It's like, man, let me tell you about the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And I tell the story, the good, the bad, the ugly, some of the ugly things
that's important
that were a part of that story after I got saved. You know, I think a lot of times we want our story to look perfect, and it's just not. It's a messy story, and it's God's grace that is perfect. It's his love that is perfect. It's Jesus that is perfect. And that coming into our story is what changes us. And that's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to change other people when they hear that. They're going to say, okay, you're like me, but somebody else has come into your story and helped you. And I need that. I need him.
Right. God's word is very clear. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did, and the word of their testimony. And I love the fact that you've been very, very honest and authentic with sharing your own struggles. That means a lot to people. And I want to just encourage you, share your story. Your story is powerful. There's no story like you. And here's the good news. No one can argue with your story.
Yeah.
It's your story. They weren't there. So we can argue scripture if we want to, but you'll probably win. We can argue over evolution and the Big Bang and science. And we can argue all the abortion and presidents and all that stuff if we want to. Those are strong opinions. But my story is something that you can't argue with.
Yeah.
Because it's about what God did in my life. And that's where the power to change people comes from. Use your story. Use it. It's God's gift to you and God's gift to the world through you.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're almost done, but I do feel like I need to say this before we finish. If you've been listening to us today, listening to what Pastor Tim has to say, and there's been any sort of, for lack of a better word, guilt trip placed on your shoulders.
No.
This is something you need to understand. And I know that that's not Pastor Tim's heart at all.
No, not ever.
And that's why I'm saying this. But this is something you really need to get, is that God does not motivate us with guilt or with shame or with fear. If you're being motivated by those things, that is the devil. And that's actually his plan to stop the body of Christ from sharing their story, from sharing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But what God does is when we go to him and we say, God, you know, I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to be a part of your this kingdom that's living and active, that is growing, that is changing the world. And we say, God, how can I be a part of that? God himself gives us the love we need. He actually, the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. And when his love is being poured into us through the message of the gospel, through a real relationship with God, through spending time with God, through his word, that's life to us, man, that's going to be overflowing out of us. So if you're in a place where you're feeling like, I wish I was better at sharing the gospel. You know, I know that God wants me to do this, and I wish that I could get to a place where I can do that. This is my encouragement to you this week, is to just take time to wait upon the Lord. Take time to read the word, to pray, and to ask God this question. God, what can I do for your kingdom? And if there's any sort of guilt or shame or anything like that hanging on your shoulders, maybe left over from the past of a way you used to see, you know, being a witness for the Lord or something like that, let God strip that off of you. He wants to take that off, and he wants to encourage you. He wants to make you bold. He wants to give you the comfort through the Holy Spirit, the love that you need, the grace of God. And when you have those things filling you, you know, those things are going to come out. It's the fruit of the Spirit that people are going to see. And really, it's amazing. Paul even said, you know, that it was God's grace that gave him the ability to do everything that he was doing.
Yes.
And if we can look at it from that perspective, this is something that I honestly believe is going to be happening naturally, you know, as believers. And if it's not, instead of, you know, us putting something on our shoulders and saying, well, I need to start doing this, that there is a place for that. We do need to be real with ourselves about what we're doing, what we're not doing, you know, if we're obeying or not. But I also believe one of the best places we can go is right into God's presence and say, God, help me to do this. I know I'm supposed to do this. I need your help. I need you to empower me to do this. And he will. He responds to that.
Always does. Yes.
So I just want to thank you again for joining me today. Thank
you
for,
for
sharing this word. I've been really encouraged by this. It's been really awesome to hear. And also, if y'all want to hear more messages from Pastor Tim Ingram, you can go. There's two places you can go. One is highridgelv.com.
Yeah.
And the other place is, if you go to Facebook, you can find his sermons, his messages, and posts from him and from his church at High Ridge Longview on Facebook. So thank you again for being here. Thank
you
all for watching this video. I hope you enjoyed it. Love you all so much, and I'll see you next time.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit TroyBlackVideos.com.